Tua's a more aggressive decision maker.
Pete, clip that off, and whenever Tuanon, you know, tweets Chris,
yeah,
you clip that and send it to him. Have a bot, set up a bot.
Right.
No, we weren't recording that. Yeah, that'll never awesome. Be heard from again.
Oh, yeah, what's up? It was heard from. We sent it to Tuanon, and they have that clip now, and they've made it their new calling banner statement for Tuanon. I don't know if they have, actually.
They're authenticating.
They're authenticating.
They're like, is that real?
Is that real?
Is that really
Chris?
Is
he trolling us?
Yeah.
What is he doing?
It's his motivation.
It's motivation is right. What's up, everybody? It's Chris Sims Unbuttoned. It is I, and it is Ahmed Fareed.
It is who, I, too.
It is you, too. It is I and you. Ahmed, again, coming off a hard-working weekend, all night, stayed in Pittsburgh, up early, flew here, is here now, came straight from the airport.
Yeah.
No rest for the weary.
No rest.
Yep. Got a little bit of a nasally cold
thing. I do, yeah. So a week
ago. You brought COVID back from Pittsburgh.
No, no.
Thank
so
you for
this
joining
is what
us.
It was. A week ago, I started to get a runny nose.
Yeah.
After our pod.
Allergies are a thing going on
that
right now.
That is happening too, I
but
think.
But there's a cold
but
too
I was
going
like,
around.
I was, okay, I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, I'll take a test. Negative.
Yeah.
Wednesday, really running.
Right.
Like, I was like, okay, I got to take another test.
Oh, you did. You tested up already.
Twice.
Yeah.
Negative
right.
both times.
Right.
So unless I've caught it since then, but no,
yeah.
now it's just been like up in there.
Yeah.
I feel fine, but
yeah.
it's just up in
no,
my face.
No, it's going around. There is some little cold going around. My little boy had it last week too, to where it's, yeah, I don't know if it's allergy induced. I heard Monster Energy drinks are really good for fighting it off.
I actually think it might clear up the nasal passages though. I don't know that that's been proven,
no.
but I think that's a possibility.
Yeah, well, I think anything's a possibility with some of the stuff that's in there. You never know what that could do. This is like, so how do you feel? Like, you're tired. I could see it in your
yes.
eyes. You're usually like bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and ready to go. And not that you're like over here looking tired. I just know you as
a
friend
tired.
To know that these are not the widest of Ahmed Fareed's eyes
I'm
that I've seen
tired.
Before. Yeah,
it was yeah because we went right from Baltimore in the Preakness.
Right.
Hope you had early voting in that.
that was
that
it.
Contest.
Was fun.
It was
cool.
Good, that was
right.
a good race. Yeah.
I wanted to see the favorite. I did just
finish second again.
I know. I felt bad. I felt bad.
I was like, what if you finish second in all three
triple
crown races?
I want to see a showdown
races.
Between him and Rich Strike in the Belmont.
Not going to get it.
Not going to get it. But, yeah, he got Epicenter, kind of got, you know, stuck a little bit. A
he
tough
did.
Spot.
Again.
Again.
The last time he had the free run, he
right.
just got caught.
Right, got caught from behind.
But, so, yeah, so went from Baltimore.
Yeah.
Drove 4 hours. We had a car. I didn't drive personally.
So that was the plan all along to
yes,
drive.
Yes, correct. Drove
okay.
4 hours to Pittsburgh.
Right.
Did the baseball game in Pittsburgh on Peacock, and then trying to get out, our flight got canceled.
Did you do? Was it 4 hours? Was it? Or did you hit traffic? I mean, did you make it 4 hours from?
We
Baltimore?
Did.
You did.
Yeah, yeah. Baltimore to Pittsburgh in
okay.
the middle of the night is 4 hours.
Oh, okay. Middle
about.
Of the night. Yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the but no, it was a good. It was an awesome weekend. It was a little hot out there.
Well, that's where I want to go next, please. I mean. You're kind of famous for doing pregame or Preakness
yeah.
horse race shows. I mean, you're on the map because of your sweaty armpits, all right?
Yes.
And so I was very interested. I mean, look at you, Mr. Cool Guy over here. So you got, like, the napkin shoved down your collar so you don't sweat on your collar?
That was so I don't get – that was a wet towel, cooling towel on my neck.
Right,
and so
wow.
what they did was they put paper towel around my shirt so that it wouldn't drench my
shirt
wet.
Got you.
That – look, if you're watching on YouTube or on Peacock right now, that doesn't even look like me. It looks like an evil villain or something about to take
well,
over.
It
the
looks
Preakness.
Like you're like your really rich evil brother who's
exactly.
like I own 17 of these horses here, and this is a $10,000 suit. Ahmed Fareed's billionaire brother.
But by the way, it's all a show because you see the pocket square I have right there.
Yeah, I see that.
Not a pocket square.
No, what'd you do?
Index card.
Index card. That's a good trick though. I've done that before too. I'm not gonna. Sit here and try to be on my high horse.
We
and
went
be like,
no,
how dare
yes.
you?
We went no ties.
Yeah.
And with no tie, I feel like you need something else.
Yeah.
I'm not a pocket
need
square
a little
guy.
Splash, right.
I need a splash.
I hear you.
Index card.
Right.
So that
so
was
who,
it.
Who made the call to go no ties?
You know what? It was Tirico.
No.
Right?
I'm shocked.
Tirico said.
He's the only one that can make that call and get away
exactly.
with it. I mean, the only one.
We've been. It was like 98 at our baseball game in Atlanta 2 weeks ago or a week ago.
Right.
Ties. Full
yeah.
suit.
Yeah.
Mike walks in.
He goes, it's hot.
It's a little
hot. Just one button unbeing done and not having it singed up to my neck or the tie will make a difference.
And I'm a rule follower, and the rules here at NBC usually are wear a tie.
Yeah.
And so I had put on my tie to start the day before the decision was made.
Right.
And Mike saw that.
Yeah.
And he goes, "You're not wearing a tie, are you?" And I was like, "No, I won't."
No, I'm not. I just was wearing this to get warmed up in.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
So I took it off.
See, there you go. See, this is what I try to explain to people in all walks of life, right? Doesn't matter what business you are in or whatever, there's a tier, there's a class.
Yes.
There's a superstar in every business that gets to do, have the rules, the times, anything bent his way a little bit. And that's Mike Tirico. He's the Michael Jordan of NBC. So he gets to, like, no ties are happening.
On a spectrum, though, here at NBC, let me just say, you're more towards the spectrum of you can do things. You're more towards the Tirico spectrum than the rest of us.
Oh, thank you for calling me out like that. Well, I mean, I guess so. I guess.
You swear on the podcast. That's never been done before.
It never was done at NBC. I certainly have done that. I've broke that down and broke the ice there, certainly. Yep. I'm not sure if that's what they were looking for, to be broke. Some asshole coming in on the internet saying all these bad words.
Maybe that's the one thing they gave you.
Thank
and
you for putting
else.
Me in the class
you
of
are.
Mike Tirico. Right?
You are.
Right. I'll really take that when my contract is close to his. And then I'll be like, okay, you're right. We are on the same
now
level.
Now you too see me at the same level. Yes. All right. So the weekend is over. So now we're starting
you feel
a
good
new
though?
Week.
You're good.
I feel great.
Way to go.
I feel great.
Way to go. Good job.
Great. Thank you. Yeah.
I only saw you a little on the Preakness pregame.
There's a lot going on this weekend.
It was my nephew's
family.
Birthday.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
Yeah, so I was like kind of out in the pool doing that and kind of just came in like, you know, little tidbits here and there.
Yep.
And then sat down about 5 minutes before the race and watched it.
And now we can focus on continuing the top 40 countdown.
Oh, yeah.
So I listened to the On the Plane.
Yeah.
Over here, you and Paul.
Yep.
Breaking down the next five, what was it, 31 through 35 or something like that.
Exactly
Here we are.
There we go. We ended off with Trey Lance, so I know we'll probably have some Trey Lance questions to be answered
here. We do have some of those at the end of the pod.
Nobody cared about Sam Darnold. Yeah, that's funny, I don't think. Nobody seemed to care about the other ones. So that damn Trey Lance, I can't get away from him, the 49ers, Shanahan, Mac Jones, Jimmy Garoppolo. What are they going to do? Like, that conversation, it just follows me everywhere right now.
I think on balance, we probably have a good chunk of 49er fans listening to the pod just because of your close relationship with Kyle.
Sure.
They feel like they can get some inside information.
Well, yeah. Sometimes I literally hear things out in San Francisco, and they're like, a few weeks ago, there was like a report, Chris Sims' report. And I want to be like, no, Chris Sims didn't report anything. Chris Sims just talked about a subject today on a show. But just because I said it did not mean it's a report or like yes, I think you're right to your point.
What is it if you talk about it? How would we classify it? Just something you said.
Like my opinion, my gathering of information. Like everybody thinks
reading
it's
the tea leaves.
Exactly. Yeah, everybody thinks it's like straight out of Kyle Shanahan's mouth. And I can't tell you. These are just, I don't know what else to say. I don't talk to Kyle that much. We certainly don't talk about his football team and dive into details. So then I can go out there and say shit and he can be like, hey, what the hell are you doing or whatever. We don't know. That doesn't happen.
Yep.
You know, do I follow them closely? Of course. Do I know people out there other than Kyle Shanahan? Of course. Do I know other people around the league who also know people there? Of course. So, yes. And then because it's my friend, I do follow them extra closely and pay attention to the situation more.
Right.
So, I think, but it doesn't mean I have inside information.
So if you're a journalist out there and you're going to write the sentence, Chris Sims reports, take that out. Just say, Chris Sims talked about some stuff.
It puts report a lot when it becomes 49er. I don't ever hear that anything else, but then it's report a lot when it's 49ers. Yeah. And I want to go, no, I'm speaking just off the top of my head, an opinion or researched opinion out of things that I think, see, know from the league, studied on film, whatever.
Or at times out of your rear.
And out of my ass. That's right.
And that's
it could
not
be.
A report.
Sometimes you got to pull it out of there.
That's not a report.
That's not a report.
All right. So let's continue it. We're getting into the top 30.
Yeah.
So we've gone from the top 40 to the top 30. It's been interesting discussions on all these guys up to this point. And I think the five we have today, there are going to be some good ones here.
Yeah, there should be some good ones.
This is some interesting guys. And we start with a guy that I am very concerned about because he leads my favorite team.
Yeah, well, I understand your concern there to a degree. All right, Jared Goff, Detroit Lions. He will come in at number 30. All right, Jared Goff, You know, let's say let's hit on some of the positives right off the bat. Okay, first off, big guy. He does have size, so his ability to kind of see over the line, throw with people bearing down on him, he'll take a hit. He is tough that way. Jared Goff, I give him a lot of credit for that. He is a pretty good athlete. I wish he would use his athleticism more. I think it's something you and I have talked about a little bit over the last year and a half at times where, you know, move, run. He is good. Sometimes he can stand in the pocket and you're just like, okay, I know they're teaching you to stay here and go through the reads and be the quarterback machine, but go out, get out, make a play, do that. You know, sometimes he'll sit there forever and take a hit or risk a strip sack fumble because of that. Battle tested. Right? No doubt about it. He's played in some big football games. He certainly knows how to handle a little bit of pressure. His arm, it's strong, his arm. Now, what's the strong arm is, yes, can he push some balls into some tight windows and push the ball down the field? Yes. But at times he can lose control of that too. And he can also throw a ball that's not always the most catchable to go along with that. So that would be the thing, you know, with Jared Goff. Now, you know, to hit on some of the negatives, yeah, I'm kind of going there as far as there's inconsistencies in his mechanics. You've always heard me say that. Even if – can we throw up that picture right there if you want for the Chris Sims Top 40? That, to me, just in itself, you know, is I think I talked about this last year. You know, his motion, his arm can get too long at times, even there with that throwing motion. To me, like, it's he lets the angle break in his arm to throw the football too much. It's a long delivery. It's a long windup.
The ball is too far away from his head.
Yes. Definitely, yes. It's very rare to see, like, if you can come back to me now again, you know, the ball's a little slick. My hands are dry, too. Uh-oh. But, yeah, I mean, again, most quarterbacking, and if you're watching on YouTube, like, you see Rodgers or Mahomes or Allen, they always are here, right here, 90-degree arm angle, right?
Yeah.
And then even when they throw it sidearm, all right, it still stays at a 90-degree angle. They just drop their body down and control it that way. Goff at times can let his arm, like, almost, I don't want to say get straight, but certainly break that angle. And then he'll let the wrist break, too, to where, again, he can piece it together in games and in certain times where you go, ooh, that's a perfect spiral, great throw, great. But then there's other games and other throws that you've seen and everybody else where you go, ooh, that ball's kind of ugly or it's falling apart.
Sure.
He's got too many moving parts in his mechanics. So that compromises some of his power and his inconsistencies with accuracy and of that. So, you know, that's what we're getting, that type of player. He is a pretty good decision maker, but he's not going to carry the team through a tough spot or go, hey, guys, get on my back and let me make something happen. I'll make plays off schedule, you know. I'll throw lasers down the field like this and we'll change the game. No, that's not what he is. You know, he is a little bit of a game manager. I'm going to say he's a little plus in that because of his arm strength to a degree. But, you know, there is some flaws to his game, no question.
Before there was Tua and before there was Justin Fields, I think Jared Goff was
right.
The most polarizing guy that people saw that you. Because you ranked him 19th after that Super Bowl run.
Yes.
You're like, why? He was in the Super Bowl. How was he the 19th
exactly.
or 18 better
right.
quarterbacks?
Right.
And you're like, maybe more. Because then the next year, you ranked him 24th. Last year, he was 31st. So he's right around that same age.
Yeah.
And I think we have the stats now. Because part of it, the discussion with him was like, all right, well, maybe just Sean McVay just doesn't trust him. But maybe he's got abilities that other coaches would see in him. And he would kind of have different stats. And so you can compare now as we take a look at the 2021 Detroit Lions and 2020 Rams here. The numbers, I mean, they're very similar. Completion percentage is similar, and he was in a lot of ways the same quarterback. I looked at the intended air yards
sure.
last year,
right?
Last in the NFL,
yeah, last in the
year.
NFL. They have to finagle ways to find completions for him at times. You know, he can go through spurts where you just go, well, how do you miss that throw? How do you miss it that badly? Man, no, man. You know, here's a chance for a big play down the field. It's off target. So, yes, he's been managed that way. And, again, not to say that I'm right, but this is why I'm here and why I do this rank in these rankings. Because I'm the guy that's here to tell you, oh, yeah, just because he's in the Super Bowl does not mean he's one of the best quarterbacks in football. It doesn't mean that. You know, again, even in the 2020 season, let me just go back to that. He got benched for John Wolford. John Wolford got hurt at the end of the regular season, and they still wanted to play John Wolford in the playoff game. And we're like, we think you could do it. even though this guy brought us to the Super Bowl 2 years ago,
right.
We're done with him. So I think that says a little too. So yes, there is some systematic help that is needed from Jared Goff. So I think between that and that, that's why it's a big year for him. This is the year, to me, that it's make or break. He's going to have to play good football, be consistent, and make some plays. You know, we can't go through every game just going, he did pretty good today. He didn't screw it up.
Yeah.
Because that's really where we got in a little bit with Jared Goff. He did pretty good today. He didn't screw it up. Or when those guys were open, he hit them, right? That's kind of where we've gotten. Let's be serious here. That's right. All right. I'll say it. I know you're nodding your head. You're probably trying to be nice to the Detroit fan base a little bit. But you know what I'm saying a little bit. You know.
Yeah. The only thing is that there was not a great backup situation for the Lions last year. And so when he was not available, which was a few games, I mean, they could do nothing. Tim Boyle could not do it. And Tim Boyle's probably not going to be on your list here.
No, he's not.
John Walford's not on your list. That's interesting. but there was a significant drop-off when he was not in the game. And so as a Lions fan, you know he has his limitations, but also at the same time last year you were grateful when he was able to play.
Yeah, he does give you something there. You know, and again, he's a guy that's been there and done that.
Sure.
So I think there's something to that. But I think it's, you know, he's a guy that you look at to go, all right, can he turn the corner? Or is he just holding the spot down for us one more year before we find an improvement?
Yep.
And, you know, by all intended, the way it looks, I feel like it's going that direction. Yeah, that he did nothing last year to solidify in their brain to go, you're the guy for the future for a long, long time here. Now, I don't think they're a totally quarterback-centric team, and they're not going to put it all in on the quarterback, which I like. You know, they're going to try to play a well-rounded game, run the ball, play action pass, defense, and they're going to try to make it not about the quarterback.
Sure.
But as we know, you know, there's going to be a few games where, okay, you do all those things, but you know what it's going to come back to? The quarterback. Like in 4.5 minutes left in the football game, now he's got to make some throws or some big plays. Like we saw the Steelers game. You know, there were some chances there that day where, man, if you just make a few throws in this game, you're going to go into Pittsburgh and upset them.
Yep.
But he did not do that. It did not take advantage. They should have won that game easily that day, and they didn't. You know, it's I think scenarios like that are going to be big for Jared Goff this year.
And I think for a couple years now, the Lions have said that they believe in Jared Goff. Brad Holmes was there in L.A. when they drafted him, and so they're going to give him a little time here. There was some thought that they would take a quarterback in the draft this year.
Right.
And they elected not to do that past multiple times. There was even talk that maybe at number two, as crazy as that is now, hearing that they might take Malik Willis there. So what do you make of them passing on this draft class? And I don't know. Are they just crazy enough to think that when they get to the Super Bowl or make the playoffs, whenever that is, that Jared Goff's going to be the guy to do that for him?
Yeah, I don't think they're that crazy. I don't. You know, I would have been one that would have loved to have seen them, you know, early second round, you know, after the trade with Minnesota, take a quarterback, take a guy like Matt Corral, something of that nature. Yeah, I would have been all for that.
They had opportunities.
They did. They definitely did. But obviously there's something they just didn't feel comfortable with there. You know, again, this is where maybe the politics of the sports get a little involved with the Jared Goff situation. Brad Holmes from the Rams, he comes there. Maybe he was a believer in Goff, right? Wait, I'm trading away Matthew Stafford. So the next guy I have has to be some sort of a name. I can't just be like, hey, you have Matt Stafford, and we'll go with Tim Boyle for the night. Like, you got to be able to sell to your fan base that you're still trying to do something here within that. Then you do that. And the assets you trade away and everything there at the same time. Okay, so now you want to justify that for a year or two. I feel like they're stuck a little bit in, like, the justification of the trade. You know, even though the trade was for more than him, it was about the future of their football team, and that's why they did it. You know, but I think that, you know, listen, they let go of Matthew Stafford, who's a top 10 quarterback in football.
Yep.
And they can't just let him go, you know, for nothing. And that's where Jared Goff at least has a name. He's been to a Super Bowl. He's been to the Pro Bowls, all of that. What I'm sitting here to tell you is that he's a big-time, needs-a-system-help type of quarterback. And he's going to be on the bench as a backup unless he can kind of make some more plays or some more high-level throws on a consistent basis going forward.
Should have some help, though, with Amon-Ra St.
Brown.
They
should be better.
Was good last year.
Right.
Jameson Williams, you like him a lot. Hopefully
I
he's
do.
Healthy.
I love their O-line. Hockenson's real.
They've got everything but that quarterback. But, hey, the Rams, They built everything, but the quarterback got him to a Super Bowl.
I know. So you can do that. Again, yeah, we'll see where it goes. And I think Dan Campbell, the way he is, like old school, yeah, they're going to run the ball. DeAndre Swift, keep it like efficient with Jared Goff, and they're going to hope they can play defense and win games 23-20, 21-17. That's the kind of football team I envision them
and
as.
And I was talking about the Rams of a few years
ago.
Yes,
we know,
not
right.
Just this
we
past
got you, right.
Rams.
Right.
So Jared Goff is number 30 on your list.
Yeah.
Who is the quarterback who is just one quarterback better than Jared Goff?
Well, that would be Tua. Okay. Here hello, we Tuanon. Welcome to the countdown. All right.
29.
Yep. Tua Tagovailoa at number 29. I still don't know if I say his last name the right way.
I think it's Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa.
Like a tongue.
Tagovailoa. I know. I feel bad. I need to actually practice that one
yeah,
a little
if you're
bit.
If you're going to disparage the man
right.
multiple times, at least get his name right.
All right. Right? I will. I'm going to work on that. I am. I chicken out with his name all the time.
So does everyone. Tua.
Yes, I know. That's why I said Tua to do it. All right. So, Tua. Let's hit the positives first, okay? Like, hey, the one thing going back and watching Tua, first off, he's slick. All right. Yeah, obviously he's at 29. I still have questions. I do.
As all high right? as you've ever ranked him,
he's
though.
As high as I've ever seen him. I put him on this list, definitely. No doubt. You know, again, there's things to like, certainly. Do I have questions? Yes, we'll get into that in a few minutes. But as far as, like, the positives are, hey, he's got charisma and some leadership. There's no doubt about that. There's something about him on the football field. He is a very good athlete. He is. The way he can kind of hop around the pocket and move there, I don't think I quite give it as much credit as I should at times when I went back and watched it. You know, of course, on the move, he can throw the ball on the run. He's slick with his different releases. He's slick with the ball. He's slick with the ball in all ways, except he just does not have a strong arm. He can't throw with any power, really. So, but as far as sidearm, you know, flicking it. Oh, no, somebody's in my face. I got to flick it and touch it over a guy and throw it 20 yards down the field. He can do all that. Be in an awkward position, still gear it up and throw the ball and get it out in some weird angle or hole or alley to throw the football. So he is very good at that. He has accuracy. He does show the ability to throw with very good touch and timing. You know, one of the things we showed on Pro Football Talk today is a little bit like his go routes, his fades down the sidelines. He throws a pretty fade ball. He can drop it in the bucket or, oh, wait, the guy's playing in front of him. Let me just throw a soft back shoulder and change the ball a little bit. He's very good at stuff like that. There's no doubt. And then, of course, he can run and scramble and get you 10, 15, 20 yards. He can. But as we know, there's some other issues here, too. First is, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of big-time throws and yards left on the field on a consistent basis with Tua because, one, they can't call it, or, two, he turns it down. And that's the one thing you see as you watch film from him, especially last year. You know, the lack of outside-the-number throws is pretty eye-popping.
Right.
And they're not doing it because they're going, wait, we want to throw it here. They're doing it because we can't trust him to get enough on the ball and make the right ball throw out there. He doesn't have enough arm. So they had to construct things that fit him, you know, around the middle of the field. You know, so, again, they're having to bend the offense in the way you want to attack because there is a limit a little bit from your quarterback. And that's why we're talking about 29 here a little.
So those are, if you're watching on Peacock or YouTube, you see his stats from last year. Completion percentage was quite high, seventh best in the NFL. But as Chris is want to point out, it's shorter passes, 27th in the NFL in yards per game, 23rd in passing yards per attempt. And so
I got to think intended air yards. Maybe Pete can look that up while we talk.
Yeah, he was just barely ahead of
Goff.
Of golf.
I would think so. And again, I don't look any of these up. I'm just telling, I go by what I know and see. I just, you know me. But yes, that was what my eye would tell you. It didn't become an actual like thing from guys like Logan Ryan,
right?
Because they just decided to pile on. They're watching film too, going, damn, here's another 3 yard pass. Here's another 3 yard pass.
So this is what you're talking about too. Passes of 20 or more yards downfield. He had only 7% of the time was he doing that. That NFL rank was 34th.
Yep.
So there were 33 other quarterbacks that had a higher percentage of passes deep downfield. Completion percentage was good.
Yeah, you see it.
But just didn't do it very often.
Doesn't do it very often, right? And again, you know, that the completion percentage, the ones we're talking about there, I think are what we're talking about too. You know, again, a little bit, a lot of the fade jump balls down the sideline,
right.
You know, 50, which is great. I get, I'm okay with that. But, you know, hey, context matters. We need someone more of the, wait, he's 25 yards, you know, screaming across the middle of the field, and there's a tight window, and you need to throw the laser in there. We got to get it in there.
Well, know? That's something, too. That was interesting. He threw into a tight window more than any other quarterback last
year. That's interesting.
19.3% of the
time. Sure. Okay, that's interesting.
So that's...
Yeah. You know, but, again, that's where I would love to break that down. The context is going to matter, too. Now, again, when you're throwing balls 4 yards over the middle, guess what? The windows are going to be tight.
Yes.
There's linebackers and safeties there. But that doesn't speak to a bad thing. That speaks to, hey, like I talked about, he can get the ball out of his hands quickly.
Sure.
He has a good release. He does have the ability, like we've talked about, to really throw the ball from a lot of different arm angles, which, you know, helps him with his lack of arm strength and stuff.
Yeah.
But staying healthy, playing in the pocket, when the pocket against good defenses, when pocket collapses, oh, Buffalo, up in Buffalo, Tennessee, he plays small. And he plays small and he makes bad decisions because the pocket is collapsing on him and he is small and he misses people, not only just with the throws themselves because of the size, but also because he can't see people at times too. There is that. You know, he's not the greatest at being able to throw and go, oh, someone's going to hit me. I need to make a big throw here to do that. No, you know, because of the lack of power on the ball and the fact that he doesn't spin it necessarily real hard, he can't cut it through the wind in places like Buffalo and things like that. That scare me a little bit.
Sure.
So, again, I know everybody thinks I'm a hater on the guy, and I'm not. I'm just a hater on Tuanon. All right? But
him, Pete tried to throw me in there because I cited that stat about throwing into tight windows.
No, no, so, it's a good. I like to keep it real with that stuff. I'm glad
punch,
you're doing that.
Counterpunch.
Yes.
So the quarterback coach there now is Daryl Bevel.
Yeah.
And he said this in a quote to the press.
Right.
They quoted him. We'll be able to do whatever we want to do. There's not really any throw he can't make. Did he lie to us?
Well, no, he didn't lie to you. He can make every throw. Is it going to be a good enough throw, though, that you're going to call that play on 3rd and 12 in the biggest moment of the year where you're going to go, you know that 20-yard out route that's been open all game? We're going to call it. We know he can make the throw, but now he's going to make the throw at like a really high level in a big moment. And that's why he was drafted at number 5. That's great, Daryl Bevel, that he can make the throw on 7-on-7 in the springtime. That's great. But, yes, I understand. What else is he supposed to say, Daryl Bevel? I get that. But, again, that's where I go back into. I think that's why Mike McDaniel's there. I think it's a great fit that way, too, for Tua and Mike McDaniel. I think what Mike McDaniel wants to do, Tua does fit that. You know, he's a wheeler and dealer, like a Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah, that way. So I could see that. Plus, he's going to be better at movement, you know, and they have two guys with multiple rockets up their ass,
well,
and Waddle and Tyreek Hill.
That'll
right.
be what's interesting, and that's not part of your evaluation here in your top 40. But
no.
His teammates around him, those wide receivers, they're weapons right now.
Yeah.
And, in fact, the Dolphins tweeted a picture from one of the training camps or the mini camps where Tua was hooking up with Tyreek Hill. I don't believe that this tweet, though, had the affected intent.
Well, that had the negative effect, this
one. Because he threw it, and you can see that Tyreek Hill is waiting for it as though it was a punt.
Right. Well, and then you see that. Yes, and it became a big thing, which it got overblown, right? It did. You know, even speaks into this. Again, I'm not going to dissect this too much, but you see, like, the ball doesn't spin a ton there, right? I think if we watch some of the other elite quarterbacks in football, you'd go, whoa, that ball is really spinning, and it's tight and perfect. What I don't understand is, like, Tyreek Hill addresses it a week later. Right, on social media.
He did?
Like,
what did he say?
He kind of basically was like, it's practice, relax. And then they put out a highlight reel of him throwing good throws. And I want to be, see, that's they're listening to the noise there. And that
yeah.
means Tua is listening to the
yeah,
noise.
You're right.
So don't, why are you justifying, like, Joe the Plumber's thoughts on Twitter? That was your fault. That shows me you're a little insecure and you're worried about it too, Miami.
Whoever posted that video for the Dolphins, they're not feeling great right
well,
now.
Well, I know, like, you know. And again, that's not their fault.
I hope they're not fired.
They're not football
Pete.
Evaluators.
Pete goes, they're fired. I hope they're not fired, but Yeah, I think it was kind of a fun. He was like, oh, I got the football the whole way. I'm going to use that one. Yeah, but Tyreek will help production-wise.
Tyreek, they have the perfect formula for
because
him.
Because I was looking at yards after catch last season, and which quarterback do you think in the NFL led the entire NFL in yak from the receivers?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact that you're saying that now, I guess, makes me think it's Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, right.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not.
I mean, he throws deep. They throw multiple ways, and they throw. I'm not trying to say it's a similar quarterback.
No, you're not.
But I'm just saying how Tyreek Hill can help.
No doubt.
Tua.
No doubt. No. Hey, listen, these are great things. Because, this is where I love this stuff when you say stuff like that. Oh, well, he's got yak, so what? He's got all this help.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, but again, good, but let's put it into context here, right? I mean, yeah, okay, Mahomes, those guys are good and they're talented. But Mahomes is also throwing lasers into tight windows where the guy's like not stopping, breaking stride, and he's going, whoa, I'm out of here. And his throws sometimes that other quarterbacks won't make.
He's responsible for that.
Or think about how many times he's like does this, Ahmed, scrambles around in the back for 25 minutes, right? And then, okay, now everybody's downfield chasing Tyreek Hill and Kelsey and everything. And then, okay, but he's created all this space, and now he hits a dump down to Jerick McKinnon for 5 yards, and he runs 30, and you go, well, look at what he did there. But, yes, it was still created by the magic of Mahomes.
Yep.
So there's a difference there. And, you know, so we'll see. But it is, to your point, with Tyreek and Waddle and their ability, and I think some of the moving parts that McDaniels can have before the snap, and you don't know which way the ball is going, and then how slick Tua is getting the ball and quick releases and all that, that's where it can be interesting and fun with him and Waddle, and then a big target in Gesicki going down the middle. It all fits him just right. So we'll see where it goes. They can win with Tua, a lot like the Lions can, but I think to a greater extent with the Miami Dolphins. They just can't put it all on his back and expect him to carry the team like Josh Allen.
Pete has informed me we have the video where Tyreek responded.
Yeah, so here we go.
Here's the passes. Oh, that's a better spiral.
Yeah,
In stride. What you can't tell is these receivers are only 13 yards downfield. No,
you're funny.
Those look good.
Yeah. No. Again, he's smooth.
Yeah. He threw 7,000 passes. They could pick three.
And his life is gonna be, you know, it's a little bit what we saw with the 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah. That's what they're gonna be to a degree.
It'll be fun to watch how it develops. It'll be fun to watch how it develops with Tua, who even at times last year, I think even the most ardent Tua-non believer, there were times last year where they're like, maybe he's not the guy. But who knows? Maybe he will be with the guy with these cast of characters.
Well, I feel like at least last year got off one thing, right? I mean, hey, we'll see where it goes with Tua. Yeah. He was in a very tough situation. I don't want to like take that away from him. He's in a tough situation. Are they going to trade for Deshaun Watson? Is the coaching staff like really liking me? You know, who drafted me, who really is invested in me in this organization.
Yeah.
So that's not always easy. There's no doubt. And I was going to add something else to what you were going to say there. What did you end up saying there at the very end? What was the last thing you said?
It's been a long weekend.
I know. You can't remember either. Damn, I was going to say something else.
All right, save it for the questions next week. When Tuanon fills your Twitter feed
I totally lost where I was going to go there. I was going to jump off of something you just said, and I can't remember what the hell you just said. I lost my own train of thought.
Do you think they'll be happy with 29 or no?
No.
Definitely not.
No, definitely. They're gonna hear it. Well, you know what's going to make it even worse? Is when they hear the two guys that are in front of them. That's what's going to make it worse.
Right, I think the next guy in front of them, similar in a lot of ways.
Very.
Top draft pick, a lot of expectations. Now you're wondering whether he'll live up to those expectations.
Yes, it came to me, but I'll wait for later. Yes, you're right. Very similar in a lot of ways. But number 28 is going to be Marcus Mariota, the starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. All right? And listen, I know a lot of people are going to go, wait, he didn't even play last year. He didn't do anything. How does he move up? All right, first off, I don't go on last year's ratings. I don't look and go, well, this guy was 35 this year. Let me get
what I'll do. He was 36 last year.
Yep, okay.
And now he's 28.
Right.
And last year he threw two passes.
Yes. A lot of runs.
Completed one.
Yeah.
4 yards. Yeah, he did have 87 rushing yards on the year. One rush TD, but he did very little in the regular season.
Yeah, no, he did. You know, again, I understand that, and again, this is where I'll lean on the card of like, hey, this is why I'm here a little bit, to try to sort some of these things out. It's not easy, all right? I know he didn't play. I get that. Let me just say this. Let's just go base level. First off, Marcus Mariota, he's big. right? He's big. He's a big man. He's 6'4". He's over 220 pounds. I don't think people realize that sometimes. He is a big human being. He can really run. There's no doubt about it. And he has a pretty damn good arm. And within that, has pretty good control of the arm. Now, where I would say, like, he... So, right there, everything I just said was advantage Marcus Mariota over Tua. Yes. All right? So, I'm just trying to clarify my rankings here because I know where people are going to go with this. And I'm just going to go, do you think Marcus Mariota couldn't have done the same thing in Miami last year? Thrown the ball, the least intended yards in the air, 4 yards here, 3 yards there. Do we not think he could have done that? Right? Okay, you're agreeing with me, even though you're being quiet.
I didn't know you were, I thought you were asking the homies.
No, I'm asking you too, because I want, you're a homie. I mean, you are a homie.
I am a homie. Right. I am a homie at heart.
But,
that's true.
So that's where, let's just go from there. Now, just because he doesn't get the opportunity or, you know, he's on a new team or whatever else, again, that let's try to keep this a new evaluation of where they are. Marcus Mariota, you know, you got to go back 2 years ago to see extended play. Played good against the Chargers. He did some good things there, certainly. You know, you see how much they valued him with the Raiders. They loved him. There was teams that tried to trade for him, you know, before the year and thought about all that type of stuff as well. He controls the football well. He does. Where he's different from Tua, so I said he had all these things that are better than Tua. Where he's not as good as Tua is he's not as dynamic of a thrower as far as the arm angles and doing stuff like that. Mariota's a little bit more robotic, right? I mean, think about Mariota. It's very deliberate, and it's kind of the same throwing motion time after time after time. So that's where you're going to lose a little bit of, like, the Tua magic of being able to slide and throw a ball awkwardly and do that. Certainly not going
to
have that.
Robotic is a good way to sum it up, I think. Because when you think about Marcus Mariota, when he was coming out of the draft, and what was he, the number 2 overall pick?
Right.
You were kind of thinking, like, this ultra-athletic guy, because he did all the running at Oregon. And then you see him, and it's almost like he's trying to do the right thing, trying to follow the play call. You know, it's like there's not as much improvisation.
Yes, right.
And he's not just letting it fly. I don't know that I've ever seen a moment where Marcus Mariota has just been on the field and let it fly.
I think that's very real. I think that's why he lost his job to the Tennessee Titans, because they went, but damn, look at Tannehill. Like, it wasn't that open that much, and he threw that post in there 40 yards down the field, where Mariota might have been like, it's a little tight. Let me just go run, or let me look for the shallow crosser. You know, let alone Tannehill does have a little bit more ability to change the arm angles and stuff. And I think just a better natural feel to what you're talking about. You're right. You know, Mariota, as great an athlete as he is, he's another guy that, you know, I can even think back about when he was starting the Tennessee. You go, man, scramble, move around more. You're too athletic to just be sitting there, you know, trying to be this robot that we're talking about. But, again, there's a reason he's a starter here in Atlanta. He did take a team to a playoffs. He's big. He is going to be able to run the football. He does have a pretty strong arm to throw the ball down the football field. And they're going to play a style of football where they're going to use his ability to run as a threat, help their running game. And they're going to run play action pass. And, yeah, they're going to expect him to 20-yard in cut over the middle, you know, 15-yard in cut over the middle, you know, 20-yard comeback on the outside. And they're going to make life simple on him that way. And I think he can do that. Again, you know, again, some of the other showmanship stuff at quarterback, yeah, he's got to get better at.
I think it's interesting that it's Arthur Smith,
right,
is the guy that brings him back, gives him his next starting job, because he was there at Tennessee when they drafted him,
right,
number 2 overall in 2015, and then he was also there when Mike Vrabel made the decision to bench him. And in a lot of ways, I think that's why Arthur Smith has a head coaching job, with what he did with Tannehill after that, and the offense making it so dynamic, throwing the ball down the field, great running attack. So it's very strange. You got Arthur Smith here, probably would not be a head coach unless the decision was made to bench Marcus Mariota.
Yeah,
that
you're right. Probably it probably, you know, gave him the boost he needed. You know, and again, I don't think it's like Mariota. He wasn't benched because of like bad play. It just wasn't good enough. And you know, sometimes that change of scenery, learning a few new tricks, changing a few things mechanically can really help. You know, but I think there's still like skills and a man here that's worthy of getting another shot to be a starting quarterback. I don't think this is like a crazy thing here. There's a lot of like starting qualities about Marcus Mariota. You know, again, I think the big thing with him is going to be, does he take advantage of all that's there to be had with some of the throws and people that are open down the field? You know, can he be a little bit more, even though he's robotic, like, you know, for a guy that was in the playoffs and all that, there were still too many throws that were missed at times where you just go, you're too good. You're too good of an athlete to miss some of these throws.
Right.
And then, you know, again, maybe some of the backyard footballness he can improve on a little bit. But he's big, he's strong, he's smart, he's played some tough games, he's an athlete, and you know, I'll be interested to see where it goes this year with him in Atlanta.
Tell me how you break these ties, just to kind of hammer this point home again. We probably should do this once a podcast. You got Mariota there, you got Tua, and you got Jared Goff. Do you sit down and you think, all right, I'm the GM of a team, I'm in a make-or-break year, I've got to get to the playoffs. Which of those three quarterbacks do I want on my team?
To a degree, I put myself all those. You know, my big baseline is just like, hey, we're all on the same team, and here's the offense. The offense is a little of everything, right?
Yep.
It's not just an offense that's based on Lamar Jackson or something like that.
Right.
The offense has got all just the basic essentials in the NFL, and where are we going to go from there? You know, again, if we made it like, oh, hey, we're going to make it Mariota, but we're going to make everything about him just so it looks good for him in Miami, well, then he'll look better than Tua, and then don't worry about it.
It's
just going to – so, but yes, that's where I try to go through it, and it was a tough one. These are close ones, certainly. And, like, were there a point this weekend where I knew this was coming up and I was – you know, sometimes I'll switch where I went, Like, I sat here and went, man, should I have put Mariota in front of Tua? And then, you know, I just come back to that thought, basically, of like, all right, well, wait, when we put Mariota in Miami, do I think it would have been any different, you know?
Yeah, I'll ask Ahmed that question. I'm curious to see what he says. And I didn't say anything.
You didn't. You just sat there. I think of that. But then, I always go back to my base thing. You know, one, they're all on the same team. Two, how I break it down with this a little bit. Physical ability is category number one. Decision making. And what you do there in the pocket, you know, and then leadership and all of those. Those are the four categories I hit on. Leadership three, in the pocket four. I think there's some qualities there that Mariota has that are a little better than Tua.
He'll be the starter.
Yeah.
We expect that for sure.
Yeah.
But he will have some competition throughout the year. Desmond Ridder was drafted by them out of Cincinnati. He'll be the backup quarterback, we would expect. And so as we take a look at the schedule for the Falcons in 2022, a few months from now, do you think that's a tough start? Saints at Rams, at Seahawks, Browns, at Buccaneers, 49ers, at Bengals. Jeez. All right, so say it's rough on Mariota early on. Ridder, we expect to be pretty – I mean, he's played in college for how long?
Yeah. I just don't think he's on the level of Mariota yet.
You don't.
I don't. I really don't. Yeah, clearly I don't. But, I expect it to be a pretty long leash with Mariota.
So you would not expect Desmond Ridder to go there in practice, be lighting it up to the point where they'd be like, well, we got to give him a shot. See if it – turns things around.
I don't think so. I would be surprised. And again, if we're sitting here at the end of August and that happens, I'm going to tell you I'm surprised and go, wow, I mean, things must have changed. I mean, Ridder must have really improved his throwing, because you heard me during the draft process. I mean, there's some real issues there. There's some real inconsistencies. His arm is not as strong as Mariota's. You know, he's not as big of a human being as Mariota. Mariota's a thicker, bigger man. I've seen both of them. You know, Mariota's also faster. I mean, he's definitely got better acceleration. Maybe top end is close because Ridder can open up and go. But no, I think this is one where we see Mariota for the most part of the year. Maybe, you know, when we get to week 10 or 12, I think they had a late bye week there. All right. And then you go, all right, all's lost. Let's get the young guys some reps. I could see that, certainly. All right. So if it goes that way, maybe that's where we see Desmond Ridder. I don't think we're going to see, like, man, we're shocked. The Falcons started off 1-2. No shit. I thought they were going to start off 0-3. There's 1-2. I don't think they're going to be like, oh, it's 1-2. It's a letdown. We got to bench Mariota and put Ridder in to save the year. We should have been better than 1-2. No. They're in a rebuild.
All right. So 28, Marcus Mariota.
Yep.
This list is actually working well together because 27 has a lot of same characteristics as far as situation, draft status,
better,
second chance with a new team now.
Right.
27 on the Chris Sims top 40 quarterback countdown is
Mitchell Trubisky. Maybe the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll see where it goes.
All right, so here's another one.
Yeah.
Not ranked last year.
Yeah.
Was 38 in 2020. And now He just threw the ball 8 times in Buffalo. Completed 6 of them, so that was good. 75 passing yards, but now he has shot up from not ranked all the way to 27. Are you basing that on his proximity to Josh Allen for a year and him like touching and rubbing him and maybe something
bumps
rubbing,
you up.
Rubbing
the Allen
off
effect.
On him? Yes, exactly. The Allen effect.
The Allen effect bumps you up 15 spots. You just get better by being in a room with Josh Allen.
So what did bump him up?
Well, okay. So, again, as we've discussed many times, it's very close between these all these guys here at the end, the top, bottom 10, 12. I mean, it's close. It is. All right, here's the biggest thing that bumps him up. It's just the fact of not knowing really exactly what was the issue, what's the problem in Chicago, right? What was the problem? Now, I kind of thought I knew the problem, right? You heard me back then, and Matt Nagy, the offense. I mean,
correct. You've been saying that for a while. Yes.
I've been saying it for a while, right? I've been a defender of Mitchell Trubisky for a while. I have. But at the same time, I'm also not just going, oh, it's all Matt Nagy. I know there was flaws with Trubisky. You know, there's things that are, oh, shit, maybe I don't know. Maybe he is, you know, sorry, stupid. Or, you know, maybe he is just that inaccurate or has no clue. You know, again. But what happens is what? He goes to a new place with, you know, a new regime. You start to hear from them like, oh, this guy's good. Like, he's smart. He picked up our offense in a hurry. And then you hear during OTAs, like, hey, we coached him up. And I mean, he's hitting bullseyes all the time and blah, 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 blah. And then you get to see it in the preseason and you go, well, damn, this is a different guy, like, right away. I mean, it's a different guy. I mean, there's mechanical things that were fixed there. He's obviously was in a better spot mentally, and he was in an offense that actually gave him a chance and gave him some thought process. And like, oh, wait, this is how I read the play, and this is what I got to do, and coach said did this. Instead of the other offense where it was just like, hey, we're going to run a few guys this way and a few guys that way, and you just drop back and figure it out. Like, that's kind of what he came from. So I didn't know. I mean, a little. Like, all right, is it him? Is it them? What is it? And I feel like the year in Buffalo let me realize that it was them. It's not him. And I saw, you know, some of those, you know, kinks in the armor worked out. And, yeah, I know it's not a lot to go with. But between what I hear, rumors, what I see on film, just even from the preseason game, I do. It makes me think a little differently of him. And obviously everybody else, too. That's the other thing, too. And again, what you got to realize, too, is people are seeing him in a pregame warm-up, and they're going, fuck, Trubisky's – I mean, there's Josh Allen, but that was the other thing you hear, like, when it was Buffalo. Like, man, Trubisky, he throws lasers in pregame warm-up, too.
So you heard this from around the league.
A definite. 100%. This is why his stock continued to grow through the year, because people that talked to Buffalo and Brian Daboll, and why do you think Daboll was rumored to maybe have him here with the New York Giants as a guy, right? Because they started going, he's fucking smart. He's fucking, he got a strong arm. He's fast like Mariota. He's 6'3", 225. Wait, what was the problem? Oh, that's right. That shit offense in Chicago. That's right. So, yes, it's a little hard that way. And I guess that's, you know, again, why I'm here. Maybe I was wrong. Obviously, I was wrong last year and I had him too low. But, you know, it's a tough spot here, and it's nitpicky when you get to this part of the list.
You're trying to use all information.
I am.
You're using
I'm trying.
Information. Most of it is your own evaluation of what they did on
exactly.
the field. And in the preseason, he was pretty good. Pete just put in the rundown, 21 of 30, 70%, 231 yards, had a touchdown there. You never know the competition. Or
it was the Bears
facing.
Game. You know, it was the Bears.
Yeah.
It was preseason game number 2. And he torched their ass. Not only, and again, I understand it's preseason. So don't everybody sit there and go, oh, it's preseason.
Yeah. You're not basing it on the preseason. You're basing it on the 8 passes in the regular season.
I'm basing it on those 8 passes and the look of the preseason.
Yeah.
And then, yes, all the other things you explained, right?
Yes.
And that's why, you know, that he was taken in. You know who Buffalo played week 1 last year?
Who?
The Pittsburgh Steelers. You don't think they got a good look at him in pregame warmups and saw him in preseason and talked to some coaches up there and they were like, we got something here with this guy. This guy's like a really good player, right? That's what happened throughout the league. That's what happened. He erased all the bad shit that was out there with him, and the league realized, okay, it's actually, he might not be perfect, but it wasn't all him. It was more Chicago than him. And I think that's why he's got put in this spot in Pittsburgh. And I think it's going to be tough for Kenny Pickett to beat him out because there's real, tangible talent with this guy.
So a couple things here.
Yes.
About 3 minutes ago, you said kinks in the armor. Is that a new one? Has that ever been said before?
Okay, yeah.
Pete, is it?
I don't know.
Kinks in the armor?
Yes, yes, you're right. Yeah. That's not the proper.
Yeah,
yes.
It's more like a chink in an armor.
Yes,
yeah,
right.
It's like a
yes,
divot or
right.
something in the armor.
Yes, that's
yeah.
the proper one.
That might be new.
It
right?
might be a
I
new
might
one.
Have picked up a new
a
one.
Kink might work. I mean, it makes sense.
It's yeah. You're blending two. I think.
Yes,
at that
that's
point,
what I do.
That's what you do.
That's
yeah,
what
exactly.
I do.
That's why I'm saying it's a new one.
It is.
Normally,
thank you.
Florio picks out those things, but I heard that
I'm
one.
Glad
I was like,
you. I'm glad
I was like,
you're
I haven't
on
heard
there.
That one before. I want to just make sure that we use that again. If
yes.
Kinks in the armor, because I kind of like
you
that
like
one.
It too. You see, this is Chris Sims, accidental scholar. This is what we call this here.
And two, we've got a couple questions already from the homies. How do they know about this ranking, Pete? Did they have Trubisky questions leading into the podcast
letting,
here today?
Is he letting these out secretly?
No, he's not. He's leaking them. We found the mole,
the leaker,
Greg Faced.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, do you think the Steelers had to draft a quarterback this year? With Trubisky, I think they could have stayed with him this year and used that first pick on another more highly rated position of need, like Linderbaum, maybe, who I predict to be a monster for 10 years.
I thought there would be a chance they did that. In fact, if anybody, and to our man Greg's here question, when I did my mock draft, I think one of the things I said with Pittsburgh was I would just went, this could be Linderbaum territory here. Mm-hmm. They did not need to do the quarterback thing. No, they did not. You know, but obviously they felt really good about Kenny Pickett and what he is and what he's going to be. You know, there is a part of me that thinks a little bit, too, of like Pickett, the hometown guy, Kevin Colbert on his way out as the GM, trying so hard to give a gift to the organization on the way out, right? That kind of plays into these guys' minds at some point, where I want to be like, maybe because of all that, did they over-evaluate Kenny Pickett to a degree?
Sure.
That certainly has crossed my mind.
Yeah.
I'm just adding
food for thought
here.
They knew him too well and were around him too much.
And just the things were too positive, and then you're trying to go out on a high note and go, look what I did. I set the team up for this next Super Bowl run.
Yeah.
You know, I certainly have thought about that. But, yeah, I don't think they needed to do it. I don't think it was desperate, but obviously they felt like this guy was worthy of that. And so be it. So I'm never going to, fault them for that. I'm not at all. And with the Trubisky being there, it puts no pressure on Kenny Pickett. I mean, none.
Yeah.
You know, the fact where Trubisky's clearly outperforming you in the preseason and training camp. So what? He's the starter. You know you're the future. He's only going to be here for a year, blah, 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 and you move on. You know, if it's close, that's where I'll be interested. Who's the tie going to go to? You know what I mean? And, again, that's where I think I do expect Trubisky. With the way their schedule is early in the year in Pittsburgh, and I think as talented as he is, and if we have the Pittsburgh schedule, maybe we can throw it up. If not, I can look it up because I know it's pretty tough. Here he goes. Look at these guys. They're good. They're good.
At Bengals.
You want to throw out your
Patriots.
Rookie quarterback right there? Is that where you want to do it? No. I don't know if I would if I'm the Steelers. That's where, those first three, I don't certainly think that's a recipe for, hey, let's throw a rookie out in Cincinnati. And then let's go to New England and play Belichick the next week or have him come to town. And then, hey, it's a short week, and let's go play, maybe the team that's more talented than the other two teams we just played in the Cleveland Browns. That's where I just think, Pickett will have to win the job outright. And I don't think that's going to be easy because when he steps on the field, he's going to go, damn, this guy's a good-looking athlete. Damn, he's fast like me. And they're going to go, damn, his arm, it's strong or stronger than mine.
I would be very shocked if Trubisky's not starting
week one. Right.
Right? I think you signed the guy like Dalton last year, right?
Uh-huh.
And I think maybe Trubisky's got more potential than Dalton, too.
I agree.
So it's like
I'd be
very shocked if he wasn't starting there. Bengals, right. Patriots, at Browns. Now, the question comes when they're playing the Browns the next time, which is the last game of the season. Say, barring injury, you think Mitch Trubisky can make it through the whole year? You think Kenny Pickett gets a start at some point? I could see.
Like, if it's shaky and they get to that bye week and they're just like, the quarterback play is not good enough.
Right.
Right.
That's when the evaluation starts.
Right. And we're Pittsburgh. And, all right, let's throw the young guy out there. We'll manage it a little bit. We almost went to the playoffs with Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges, and we went to the playoffs 2 years in a row with Big Ben, who can't throw the ball 7 yards down the field.
Well, that's the thing. It should be an upgrade, too, because we have Mitch Trubisky, 2020 with Chicago, and then Big Ben, 2021. So, I mean, the numbers, if you look at Big Ben was not. I mean, you can make the argument that Big Ben was the worst starting quarterback in football.
Yeah, you definitely could. Agreed.
There they are.
So this is where, one, as we've talked about, Big Ben, the reluctance to push the ball down the field or the reluctance to hold the ball in the pocket to take the hit to push the ball down the field.
So these numbers are similar.
They
from
are.
Trubisky in 2020 and Ben just, last year.
Yep, let's just not forget. It just he didn't have, you know, Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, and some of those other receivers that they did either. Nor did his system is good, what Ben had in Pittsburgh. That system's better than what Trubisky got to come with Vinegi. But from a base point to what you're talking about, that's where I would be excited. Because, one, okay, his arm's stronger than Ben's was at the end of the career, right? He's obviously a better athlete and going to be able to run. He'll be willing to stand in there and take shots and throw the ball down the football field. And Trubisky, almost like the opposite Big Ben to a degree, or almost the opposite of Mariota to a degree, who we talked about, where – you know, I'd like him to be a little bit more of a machine throwing the football, which he showed a little bit again, and was what I heard up there in the preseason last year, was like just, again, those throws, the throws we saw in the regular season, I just went, man, everyone was kind of a perfect spiral and like on target.
Right.
Like it was a different look. But to where in Chicago I would have gone, man, I wish the decision-making and the throwing was just a little more consistent. Now, I think the offense played a part in that. Right, because people aren't always open, so you force a ball and you're trying to make a play, or you're never in rhythm. So then, you know, I'm not in rhythm, so I'm just not feeling good. So I hit the target all the time and do all that. But what they will get a huge advantage of, which I'm saying I'm getting there to this eventually, because I wish he's a better machine or robot. You're talking about the playmaking ability. He is going to be able to go through moments where you're going to go, they're not protecting well. There's nobody open. And look at this fucking guy run around or make a play or get outside the pocket and make something happen.
Well, that was a huge surprise last year. I remember talking about this with you, is that he led all quarterbacks last year, not last
two
year,
years ago,
2 years
right.
ago when he was a starting quarterback, who had more than 15 scrambles in yards per scramble. And he didn't play that much last year, had a couple scrambles. He did it again. He had 30 yards of, positive yardage.
He can take off. I mean, he's a really good athlete.
He can.
And again, the skills, there's like Mariota, you know, there's a reason he was drafted in the top five. It's not like there's void of some real physical, tangible talent. The arm is strong. It's stronger than some of the quarterbacks we're going to have in the top half of the game.
Yeah.
And then it's an athletic ability that's up there with a lot of the top athletes at the position too. So that's why he is where he is. And I think the year of growth and the fact that I now know a year away from Chicago that it was more Chicago than it was him. Because you know who else went to Chicago and looked like shit? Nick Foles, gone. Andy Dalton, gone. Everybody looks like shit in Chicago with Matt Nagy's offense. And that's where, you know, now we know.
Maybe a big year for Justin Fields.
Right.
Who
Matt
knows
Nagy's
over there.
Not going to be sending me a Christmas card.
Hopefully he's not listening anymore. let's do an over-under for the Steelers.
Yeah.
Right? So you think Mitch Trubisky's going to get the start, play as long as he can, as long as he's productive, which could be for quite a while.
Yeah.
The over-under for Steelers wins this year is 7.5.
Oof.
I'm surprised because, as Pete notes here, in 15 years as head coach, Mike Tomlin has never had a losing record. So PointsBet is setting the over-under as if that will happen this year.
Wow. Well, it is not an easy schedule. I tend to want to say over right off the bat.
Me too.
I mean, no question.
But that's when they get you.
Yeah, I know.
That's when Vegas get, when you're like, oh, obviously over, you're like, well, actually, you're very wrong.
You know, again, Vegas, I guess, you know, how much is, again, the money, you know, on the other teams in the division and stuff affecting where this is at?
I
do wonder.
But Steelers, I feel like, would always be bumped up by that fan base. Such a big fan base, probably supports the team. Like the Cowboys, right? Never bet on the Cowboys because got a bunch of Cowboy fans out there betting on the Cowboys.
Healthy defense? I just think they're going to still be a pain in the butt.
And like we said, Trubisky, maybe if you're like, oh, it's Mitch Trubisky, but I think he's better than what Ben was the last couple of years.
Agreed. And I think the other thing, too, where I just look at and go, the team's going to be better.
Yeah.
The offensive line's going to be better. Najee's going to be a year better. You know, Freiermuth, Claypool, Deontay Johnson. I like some of what they got in the offense. And now, like you're talking about, Mitch being the better than a Roethlisberger, the offense, I just would be shocked if it's not better. Let alone this quarterback fits, I think, more what Matt Canada wants to do than what Big Ben did. And then defensively, hey, they were banged up last year. You know, they had some issues throughout the year. I still think they're going to be, you know, I think when all said and done, if they can stay healthy, we'll be one of the better defenses in football. Certainly not as you know, they kind of fell apart towards the end of last year. Yeah. Where, like, you know, I expect them to at least be in the top half of the league this year.
All right, so if you want to take the over on the Steelers, 7.5 wins, you can do that. You can download the PointsBet app to do that, Chris.
Yep, and you know it. NBC2K to sign up, all right? So here we go. If you're in an eligible state, PointsBet has an exclusive sign-up offer for Unbuttoned listeners that you can't miss.
Yeah, don't tell it to anyone else.
No,
this is just for
only Unbuttoned listeners. I don't tell anybody else. Yeah. I don't. Have you been telling somebody else?
No, we don't.
All right, you better. You're not, better not going to, like, Pittsburgh games.
And if there's someone around you right now
and
that's...
And the Preakness and, like, telling everybody these
things. I don't
tell
anyone. Okay, this is for the homies.
Right.
And if there's someone listening over your shoulder right now, tell them to go away.
Yeah, go away. This is only for Unbuttoned listeners. Yeah. Okay, so download the PointsBet app, use code NBC2K to sign up and get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. Say you bet $100 on the Steelers to make the playoffs.
Okay.
If you win, you'll get $275.
All right.
Cha-ching. Awesome. But if you lose, you will still get free bets worth $100. Cha-ching.
Yeah.
Look at that. 2 cha-chings. One was bad and one was good, but it was still cha-ching.
Hey, you lost, but you still got a cha-ching.
I know. So, like, once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet.
You know what they say? No risk it.
No biscuit.
Which leads us to our number 26 quarterback here.
You're amazing.
Who no longer is in that system
and
has been showing some positive improvement.
Yes, he has. I mean, again, Jameis Winston, say what you want. I mean, he certainly deserves to be around this area as one of the best quarterbacks in all of the world.
26.
Number 26.
He was 25
Winston.
Last year, so you had him right here.
Right here, right?
He's coming off that injury, but
injuries,
you got him right back to where he was.
Yeah. You know, it makes me feel good in a lot of ways for him. The fact that, hey, he tackled some demons last year. That wasn't easy. There was a ton of pressure on Jameis Winston last year. Ton. Take over for Drew Brees. Oh, shit, am I ever going to be a starter again if I don't play well? You know? Oh, man, Sean Payton's, you know, watching over my shoulder, and I better not throw a damn interception or be careless or reckless or do some of that risk it biscuit shit I used to do in Tampa, or I'm going to be on the bench. That's not easy to play like that. To go, like, and then Taysom Hill be there, where they go, well, I know the coach kind of likes him, and they win games when he comes and plays. So that was not easy. Now, was he perfect? No. But, I mean, still did a lot of good things. I mean, 14 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. You know, the one thing I'll say about Jameis Winston is this, and it kind of pops to me every year. He's amazing in the pocket. He really is. His athletic ability is always better than I remember it being when I turn on, whether it's running or even just the movement in the pocket. He is a big-time thrower of the football between 10 and 20 yards. Man, does he hit a lot of great 15, 16, 18-yard throws. Do I wish he was a little more accurate and had a quicker release on some of the short game, quick stuff, precision stuff? Certainly. But, you know, I think one thing he showed us last year is he can get some of that disease, risk-it-biscuit stuff out of him. He was smarter. He took sacks at the right time. He threw the ball away. You know, he did not do any of the famous Jameis Winston stuff we had seen that we've made fun of him for. And that shows that there was some growth, and he's coachable that way. And he can play a different style of football. So I think between that, you know, that's why I make him number 26 on this list.
Yeah, his numbers from 2019 versus what he did last year are completely different. 2019, of course, is that 30 interception year, which was his worst. It's not like he was doing that every year in Tampa. Like,
right.
The 30 interceptions was an anomaly for him. It's not like he's throwing that many every year. He did have a few, but yes, not 30. Last year, yeah, as you mentioned, 14 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I looked it up, too. That's his best touchdown percentage, you know, touchdown passes per passes thrown,
right,
of his career, and his best interception percentage of his career. So
right.
In a lot of ways, before he got hurt, he was off to a career year. You think Sean Payton, and now he's gone there, but do you think they've unlocked something that will be long lasting for him, or how do you think he needed Sean Payton there?
No, I think that it was great that he was there, and I think that was probably just the presence he needed to kind of have that pressure and change. Right now he can go, wait, I know how to play that way a little. It's still the same staff, but I think it'll be less pressure a little bit without Sean Payton breathing down his neck. I mean, Sean Payton's an intimidating force. There's no doubt. I mean, sure. He's got a way about him that's, you know, it's got like that Parcells, Belichick. He just stares at you and he's like, oh, fuck, he's looking through my soul here. He knows what I'm thinking when I made that dumb decision. How dare he? You know? So I think, you know, I think it could be actually a positive in some ways.
Yeah.
That he's not there, he doesn't feel the pressure, but also can go, wait, I know how to play the Saints way, it's still the same offense, you know, and like I said, there's some things he needs to improve on, certainly, but, you know, again, as we've stated in years past, some of his high-end stuff is high-end. That's where, like, some of the plays and throws he makes, you go, damn, like, that's top 15 quarterback territory, those throws. And then the fact that the problem was we used to see a lot of top 10, top 15-ish plays, and we'd go, yeah, but this is bottom 40 and 50 type plays in the same game later on. You know, so that's what scares you. And I think last year he got that out of his system. So we'll see where it grows from there. And again, truth to that, let's make sure we know this.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't great talent around him at receiver last year. There's nothing. There's no tight end. Alvin Kamara was kind of in and out of the lineup early in the year in that parts there. No receiver, you know. So it wasn't like it was just like set up for him to just throw for 5,000 yards and set the world on fire.
Right.
I thought he did a lot of good things. The injury, I hope he can come back from. I don't think he's going to have a huge issue from it. And again, his game is not running and scrambling. It's moving in the pocket and just making big, like I said, 15, 20-yard throws is where he's special. Got to get better in the shorter, quicker game, though.
That's where you see the area of
improvement. For that offense, they're so good at getting people open on 6 and 8 yard throws. And he's got a little bit of that. You know, you've seen Jam. Can you picture that motion where he kind of winds up, right? Like almost two hands.
Yeah.
Whirly birds it. He's got a small hand. The way he grips the football, he grips kind of the fatter part of the ball to where he can't just manipulate it with his hand that way.
Right.
Maybe like some of the other quarterbacks can.
That ACL tear week 7, that was a huge bummer. But he was asked recently on NFL Network talking to Steve Mariucci. He said, Coach, if you need me to strap it up right now, I'd be able to go. So he's feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
Feeling healthy. So hopefully he can start maybe week 1.
I hope so. Right? I would think he would. I think he would start week 1. You know, again, not that I'm a doctor, but you and I mean, we follow enough sports where we just go, well, that injury happened, what, week 8?
Week 7.
So week 7. So, yeah, that's a lot of time. I would think for a quarterback that he'll be ready to go for sure for training camp and be ready for week 1.
And we do want to make sure to specify that we are not doctors, right?
Because
if anyone was out there being like, oh, Chris is a doctor, I think.
Yeah.
We're not. Whoa. We're not doctors.
Definitely not.
Don't take what we say medically as sound advice.
Yes.
Energy drinks are fine. You know, that's what I think.
Yeah.
So Chris would disagree with me.
I'm a doctor, and I say they're not.
All right, so that's our that's the next 5 there. And
right.
Pete notes here, this was interesting. All 5 quarterbacks that we revealed today were taken with a top 5 pick. 4 of them were either first or second overall.
That's funny, isn't it?
That was pretty good.
That's
they're all
pretty
guys
crazy.
With a lot of potential. Of all those,
yeah,
you know, so you got some guys with some physical skills and ability and high expectations, at least at one point in their career. Who could you see making the biggest jump of those? Those are like potential guys, like a second chance, Trubisky, Mariota. Tua's got weapons around him. You got Jameis here at 20. Like, who would you be like, I'm not surprised if they
well, the
made
top,
the top
jump. Two. Winston and Trubisky are the ones that have talent that are above 26 and 27. All right? Mariota, too. You know, again, it's interesting, all these guys being top 5 picks. I mean, you know, again, I would argue, too, within that, Tua and Jared Goff were kind of drafted because of other reasons. It was politics. It was team. It was stats. It was high school prior ranking. Everything like that. You know, so that's, to me, where they were kind of misdrafted, mislabeled, okay, for lack of a better way to say it. Where the other three guys, I would go, no, their talent was justified of being where they drafted. They just all had other little flaws that, you know, didn't necessarily translate to them being mainstays as a starting quarterback. But now, did they evolve, and can they take advantage of that? And I think that's, you know, going to be interesting to see, because I do think, like I said, they have the physical ability that if they piece it together here, you could go, oh, they're 17 or 15 next year.
Right.
I'm not surprised by that. Yeah, yeah, they show that, you know, they can be the machine we're talking about or whatever, and really play the position the right way.
I'm sure the homies will have some comments in your mentions.
That was a tough one. Those are tough grouping right there.
Those are tough. I'm curious to see how all those quarterbacks do this year, given an opportunity. Let's go through rapid fire a few of the comments on your last ranking here. And, Pete, I'm going to go right to Trey Lance here at number 31. Pete's best friend is a 49ers fan. Texted him when he saw that Sims had Lance at 31. So he was mad, right, Pete? He was like, well, how could he have him that low? After listening to the pod, though, Pete notes, the next morning he said that, quote, Chris's points were fair. I take back my hot take. So you convinced him.
That's great. That's good to hear. I mean, again, I'm not saying I know it all, but you know me. I'm invested in this. I didn't just like pull this shit out of my ass. All right, and I do have reasons for this.
So you convinced him, but not every.
I'm sure
homie.
Not. So let's see. Maybe we can convince some of them now.
JNALSS. You said Trey Lance getting to 50% completion percentage was an effort by Shanahan in every game to make it happen. But he points out Texans game. Trey Lance was 16 of 23 passing while averaging more air yards per attempt than any 49ers quarterback in four seasons. Whoa, he dug into the numbers there. So maybe the Texans game is a roadmap for him.
I might be wrong with that one where I said the 50% thing. You know, I might have been thinking of Seattle and Arizona early in the year. Again, I got a lot of games and throws and everything in my brain.
Yep.
You know, I'd have to go back and look at that. Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it. But, you know, again, I watched every throw from that game. You know, the intended air yards and all of that. I get it. You know, there was a few good throws, certainly. All right. You know, there was a few Shanahan specials that were delivered up. Again, like we talked about, they ran the corner post. The guy across the field, it was a great play. You know, it was a nice throw.
Was that the game where there was like a broken coverage too, or was that a different
game?
No,
that was that was the Seattle game when he had the guy up the sideline and like nobody was there, right?
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
He did have another throw in this game where it was kind of a broken coverage. He got a big completion. He threw the ball into the tight window to Brandon Ayuk over the middle. He got a good run after the catch, you know. At the end of the first half, he threw a seam route and on the right side to Brandon Ayuk, where I go, hey, yeah, that was good. It was a good 20-yard throw. But if it was like a laser spiral on the money, he's going to catch it and go for big yards. And then, you know, after that, he got a completion right before the half, actually. That should have been a pick six, but it went right through the defender's hands, and it ended up being a completion, and he got a completion off of that. So, again, it's just like I understand. There's some good there. I'm not sold on the whole potential thing with Trey Lance, everybody. That's why he's 31. I know because some people are going, well, this guy, you gave him potential, and this guy, he didn't. I'm not sold on this potential. I would never draft this guy at quarterback. That's what I can't know. I don't know any more ways to say it. Right?
Yeah.
So that's where there is flaws in his game that I can't put him up in front of it before I see it. You know, even in that game, too. Listen, there's some other good throws. But, you know, some of the decision-makings going to that Texans game.
Yeah.
Holy crap, he's got a wide-open crosser in the first drive of the second half that I remember. I think it's Ayuk going up 20 yards down the middle of the field. He threw the ball right into Christian Kirk's face, and he dropped the ball. And not only was it a horrible decision, the guy was open, wide open, and he threw it to the only spot where the guy wasn't open. So it's like shit like that where I go, yes, the stats at the end of the day look good, but there was also completions that weren't that pretty, that were still completions. There were still some decisions that should have been interceptions that weren't, and there were still some completions that are just underwhelming where I go, yeah, okay, we got the completion on the 10-yard out route, but the guy had to fall down and reach behind himself and put his hand on the ground to catch the ball, where it should have been like close your eyes and just put the ball in the breadbasket. So that's where I'm not sold yet.
I think Pete's best friend tweeted or texted him a
take it back?
Shot chart. Yeah, he takes it all back now. No, passing chart. Here's the passing chart. I think it kind of outlines the things that you mentioned there. That one long touchdown pass.
Yep.
The other touchdown pass was right there at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the green dot down the middle was a play action where you see that at like the 25-yard mark.
Yep.
Play action, he just ran a straight curl route, hit him there. You know, again, I'm not sitting here. I understand, like, I see the potential. I get it. I'm just not sure it's going to all come together. That's all I'm saying. Like you've heard me say, just the throwing, you know, is a little all over the place. I'm not sure if I'm sold on the athlete being as great as an athlete as maybe we all thought of. So that's where I just got to see a little bit more.
Well, you had him higher than Tyler Huntley on the list, and Tyler Huntley probably showed a few more things and very positive things last year in filling in for Lamar. Pastor Kevy Kev says, if Huntley is 34 and a rising quarterback, then would you rather pay Lamar $50 million or pay Huntley cheap and build the roster around him?
Mm.
Allocation of capital.
It's a valid question and thought. It is. You know, I mean, I wouldn't want to pay Lamar Jackson $50 million a year, to be totally honest with you. I mean, I wouldn't. Not with his style of football play. You know, the year last year was a little underwhelming. It was not his best year last year. You know, so I think it's a valid thought. I just don't think you can give away a Lamar Jackson or let that go at this point with as talented as he is and still the team being built so through him. That's what I would say. All right. So that's a tough one. I do think, like, listen, I'm going to say this. Like, I think if they decide to go Tyler Huntley this year and didn't play Lamar Jackson, they would still be a good football team. I do believe that. They would be a pain in the butt. He's going to hit open receivers. He's going to make a few plays with his legs. They're going to have to stay healthy.
They were a pain in the
butt. But Lamar gives them more of the, wait, we're not playing good. I can make some plays to help us win the game like he did last year. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
Like, they should have lost a bunch of games early in the year, and they won because of that fucker. All right? So, and I say that with all due respect in a positive way. The team being built around him the way it is, I think that adds a little bit of a value to him as far as the worth to the team as well.
Sure.
So I still say, I guess if you're asking me from that scenario, I'd probably go Lamar. But, man, I wouldn't want to pay Lamar $50 million. I would not. That would make me.
You would go, what's behind door number C?
Right.
Davis Mills was behind door number, what was he, the eighth highest Where was he drafted last year? He was like the
He was in the second round.
Okay.
Yeah, somewhere in the mid second round.
You had him ranked number 35.
Yeah.
He was third round last year. And Dunn says Davis Mills was maybe the best rookie quarterback and drafted the latest of a very overhyped and very underwhelming rookie quarterback class of 2021. So why is he dead last amongst them?
Well,
we don't know that yet, though, do we? I mean, you could have left him off the list entirely.
No, I didn't. He's dead last with them. Yeah, I think, you know, again, he was in a situation where probably the least amount of pressure on him with all those guys. I mean, honestly, you know, to me, the other guys clearly have more talent than he does. Like, not even close. All right, and. You know, I think I just see more of a future talent out of the other guys. And Davis Mills, as much as, like, I love the quarterbacky stuff and all that, yeah, I'm as you know, I'm just not sure if I see the high-end talent or the guy that can be the mainstay starting quarterback. Where I would go, like, I could look, again, Zach Wilson or Justin Fields and show some games or snippets within games and go, see, like, Davis Mills could never do this. Like, never. Right. He can never do this or make some of these throws or do this run or whatever. And that to me is why. Now, he's polished in an area where those guys are just still growing a little bit. And I'm playing the little bit of, like, they're going to grow. Because I saw them grow during the season last year and really towards the end of the season to where that spot that's a learned thing, you taught thing, they're going to catch up exponentially this year. And now their talent's going to put them in another spot. And that's to me where I just can't go much higher than that for Davis Mills right now.
Makes sense. Geno Smith is a guy that
get benched after coming in.
But he learned a lot.
I know. It's all great. But let's just not forget. Yeah, he got benched for Tyrod Taylor, who they know is not the future. And Tyrod Taylor had to play horrible for them to go, all right, let's give the kid another chance.
Yeah.
So I like let me just see. What would you say? Maybe was the best rookie quarterback? No, he was not. Maybe he was definitely not the best rookie quarterback. He definitely was maybe not the best rookie quarterback. All right, just to add that to our Andone. Definitely, maybe not, because Mac Jones was definitely the best rookie quarterback last year.
You're getting more fired up as this podcast goes.
Of course I am.
You're starting to really get the engine going. Right. Maybe this will get you fired up, too. Project FX. As far as guys like Geno go, who you had ranked number 33, don't you think that at some point he is who he is? Sure, he can come in, play in a pinch, but you play him next season, you are playing for draft picks.
Well, listen, I understand that thought. I get it. I think he's better than what the public thinks he is who he is, though.
Yeah.
I think they've gotten into just a little bit where I would just push back. Is there's a little bit of, like, you know, hyperbole and old mantras from 4 years ago where I just want to go, no, the guy has changed. And if you went back 4 years ago, it wasn't as bad as everybody tried to make it to be. It wasn't. You got to go back and look at it and just go, well, wait, that's right. We jumped on every move because he got punched in the face in the locker room. Oh, we jumped on every move because he stole Eli Manning's starting quarterback streak. And that's where, you know, I think it's been a little unfair and people aren't evaluating it for as clearly as it is.
Yep, that all makes sense. And it's not like you had him three. You had him 33.
No, again,
so he's still at the end of
this. That group
list.
There.
Yep.
It is. It's tight. Yeah, a little experience, a new place. I get to see them. You know, maybe you get to see some of their strengths that you didn't get to see at other places, or, you know, they like Jameis Winston, improved on their weaknesses and stuff like that. Things can change like that in this area of the rankings.
Two more for you here.
Yeah.
Because we got one on Sam Darnold and your non-ranking of Matt Corral, who you like.
Yeah.
You had him as the number one quarterback in the draft this year. You got Sam Darnold at 32. Seasoned Panthers says, I want to know where Chris would have ranked Coral in Sam Darnold's 2018 draft class, where he would rank Darnold out of college in this year's quarterback class. So coming out of college, you liked Matt Corral a lot.
Yeah.
You did not like Sam Darnold coming out of college. You've grown to like Sam more now as the hate has gone too far.
Yeah, it has gone too far. Right? No doubt about it. That tends to bring me over.
But out of college, how would you have him ranked?
Well,
if they're both coming out this year.
Gosh.
As they were when they were in college.
Man, I really like Corral's talent. I was not huge on Sam Darnold coming
out.
Right,
that's what I'm
saying. Yeah. I mean, he was my fifth quarterback, all right? I think I originally had him like maybe three or four, and then that was 1 year where I made a few adjustments. I've told you where I had Lamar 1 and Josh Allen 2 and got so much blowback from people in the NFL that year, that like Lamar thing. That I was like, man, maybe I don't know anything, and I succumbed to the pressure, which I'm still mad at.
You pulled an Alec Pierce.
I did, exactly, a little bit. You're right. Okay. And I know Alec Pierce is one where I'm still going, man, you know, maybe I should have stuck to my guns.
Yeah.
I'm going to probably pay for that too. But either way, I would have Corral in front of Sam Darnold. I would.
Based on their college tape.
That's what I mean. Now, I know I'm not going to. Sam Darnold, for everybody else in the world, would have been the number one quarterback in this draft. He definitely would have been. Sam Darnold, though, this is where I didn't understand about it coming out. He was great in backyard football at USC. It was great. Like, anytime he had to move and do stuff like that. And for college football, he was athletic enough to make those plays happen on a regular basis. In the NFL, you know he's not. Obviously, you could see that. But he was great with all that stuff. My problem with Sam Darnold when he was coming out, and if you go back and listen to what I used to say at Bleacher Report, we go, man, when there's a pocket and people are open, he's not that great. He doesn't throw, like, just from the pure pocket, I remember sitting there going, there's just not that many impressive throws. There's just, so what? Oh, wow, he hit a slant. Oh, wow. Oh, he threw a fade up the sideline. What would he fucking do? You know? Oh, yeah, and he scrambled against Penn State and threw a ball here 6 yards over the middle, and then the receiver ran a bunch, and everyone loved that shit. And when you're at USC, it gets blown up even more. It's like Alabama. So I guess there's my two cents. Did I answer it, you think?
Yeah. But we should not be surprised if Matt Corral gets some run next year, plays pretty well, that he jumps above Sam Darnold next year.
No doubt. Corral's talent is better than Sam Darnold. Corral, again, he's already opening eyes there, as you heard last week from Carolina.
Sure.
It's the talent is real.
We want to know if you can get inside Chris Sims's head. It's it's a dangerous place to try to venture into. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be scary, intimidating.
It is scary.
But
it can be cloudy.
It can be cloudy, but
smoky.
It can be a fun place.
It can be a fun place too. It can be a lot of fun.
Coach Mills says this. Where do we submit our guesses for the perfect top 10? So we got the Sims perfect 10 countdown. We're going to do it. We're going to do it, right, Chris?
We are going to do it. I like it. First off, good question, Coach. So here we go. After Wednesday's pod post,
yep,
we'll know what QBs made my top 20.
So we'll know the quarterbacks who are left.
We'll know the 20 that are left. So now you guys can, from there, we'll tweet out a link to a survey where you can enter who you will think will make the top 10 in order. All right?
Yeah.
You have a long weekend to rack your brain and submit your answers. The surveys will close Tuesday morning because Monday is Memorial Day next week. There'll be no pod.
Taking that day off.
Yep, taking it off. Then, if you get all 10 right in order, you'll have a chance to win some Chris Sims Unbuttoned mug, a sticker, an appearance in future episodes in the pod. Maybe everyone who gets it right will get these prizes. It honestly just depends on how many winners we have.
So I told Pete this. I think it will be, you know, a lot of people know you and know the way you think. I don't know if anyone's going
to
get 10.
You saw the list. You got to see the whole list.
I've seen the list.
Yes.
But now if I say that, you
question whether people can get the top 5.
Okay, now this is new information that people know, though. Now they know that I've seen the list.
Yes.
And they know that I don't think anyone's going to guess this list.
Right.
And so
go a little crazier.
No,
like,
yeah.
Think a little
with
different.
Now I feel like people might actually get it now.
Yeah,
I feel like
maybe.
If they might throw a few names out in different spots.
Right.
All right, so that changes things. I don't even know if people get the top 5, though.
Before we talked
about this, I thought top 5 might be difficult, but the homies know you, so maybe.
All right, we'll see. We'll see how well the homies do know me.
Yes, exactly.
We will. And we'd love for... We'll see. Even if you don't get the top 10 right, well, you know us. We're going to get it done. We're going to give you some love if you get the closest, if you're one of the closest.
Yeah.
For sure.
Like Rob, who did the points bet thing.
Exactly right.
We
gave
get
him
all
some
10,
love. Exactly
we talked
right.
to him. Talked to him about his Cowboys.
We'll talk to him. Your wife will make shirts for him and everything like that. We're going to put her to work since she's the merch seller now.
Exactly. Down our basement, we'll got a hot press down there.
We'll get it figured out.
Yeah, be
but
good.
That I think will be a cool thing. And again, please, I love the interaction. I love the questions. Don't mind me getting a little smart with my answers at times when you ask me questions. All right, I'm a smart ass. I don't know what you expect.
Yes.
So sometimes I fight back with fire.
He's a jerk.
I'm a jerk.
We go with this here.
Yeah.
One final one. NJ Slimmy Jimmy. I was listening to the pod the other day and had to tweet about people that wipe standing up. Remember that? We had that discussion.
Yes.
Someone asked us. It was ask us anything.
Right.
They go, do you wipe standing up or sitting down? I said neither because I'm a bidet guy. You said sitting down. But you said if there's anyone out there who wipes standing up, we want to hear from them.
Yes.
NJ Slimmy Jimmy.
Of course he's from New Jersey.
Is one of them. You got to get all up in there to clean it well. Plus, I got long ass arms and it feels weird to be sitting. Have to use wipes, too.
Long arms would make you think he could sit and do it easily.
He could do anything. Yeah, these arms reach anywhere.
Right.
But no. So
wipes aren't good for the toilet. Like, they don't
correct.
Flush down
I've heard
down
that before.
They're not. That's not going to work. You're going to have a septic problem there, buddy. Don't do it too much.
You might be in city, though. I don't,
right.
Is it
if you're in the city,
city,
maybe you're right. Maybe it's a little stronger system or whatever.
So we've got concerns.
So we do have
NJ
a guy
Slimmy
that sits
Jimmy.
Up.
Hey, NJ Slimmy Jimmy, thank you for
keeping it real.
Keeping it real and letting us know why you do
That's
it.
What we like, man. That's what we want on this pod.
No
matter
alone.
How embarrassing it is, yes, you're right. You're not alone. And, I mean, come on. I've opened myself up. I pee sitting down at home. Come on. We're all family here.
Yeah.
All right.
I have sweaty pits.
You have sweaty pits.
Yeah.
Right. I know. And what else do you have? And you only brush your teeth once a
week. We're the only football podcast that talks this much about hygiene and how we wipe our butts.
Yeah, we do. That's great. It's great.
Yeah,
great podcast. All right. And then last thing is
we're not doctors.
what's your t-shirt you're wearing today? The red and blue.
It's a curling. It says curling team from. I think I got it for the Olympics or something
curling
like that.
Team. Yes.
Just a generic, what I wore in Pittsburgh before I got on the plane and came right here.
All right. Well, this guy is so dedicated, all right? We got to continue to show our love for Ahmed Fareed.
Yes, thank you.
The guy's just working all week long now and then coming in here to do podcasts. That's what he's doing.
With a nasally voice, but
you're
got
the man.
Through it. Yeah.
Thanks for giving me COVID today. I appreciate it. Thanks for bringing that back to Pittsburgh. No, seriously, you're the man.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks for doing
you
it
too.
Today. You're the man. All right, everybody. You know the deal. We're we're going to keep cracking through this list. Please send the questions. I love it. I love even the challenges today. Makes me think, too. Love everybody out there. I do. I got great love for everybody out there.
Yep.
Peace out, homies. Be good. Even Tuanon, I got love
even
for you guys,
Tuanon.
Too. Even for them.
Until you, right? Hear, until you read their tweets coming
until
up after
until later today
pod,
where
yeah.
I say, fuck you, Tuanon. I take it all back. All right? Wednesday's pod. Paul will be here. We'll keep going through the list. Peace out, everybody. Be good.
Clap it up.
Clap it up. I forgot.